what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and I'm having some good vibes only with my dear, dear friend, Ronnie Karam. What's up, Ronnie?
JBL Batch!
JBL! How are you doing today?
Why do I keep thinking of extra virgin olive oil every time they say GVO? It doesn't even make sense, but that's all I can think of every time they say it.
Because it's when Rachel Ray says EVOO, so I think that the GVO sort of goes in that place. But to be fair, extra virgin olive oil usually gives me GVO, so it makes sense. Yeah. It works.
Well, everybody, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here. It's Real Housewives of Potomac Day. Go get tickets for our live show over at watchwhatcrappens.com. We start touring again in January in New York City with the Golden Crappie Awards. So that's going to be fun. And then Take a Seat still every Monday night. So come join us for that. That's at 7 p.m. Pacific and 10 p.m. Eastern time. It's on the Green Room app by Spotify. And basically, download this app. You can sign in with your Spotify account if you want, or if you don't have one, just make a free account. The app is free. The account is free. Things free, guy. And then join us at 7 p.m. and search for Ben Mandelker or Ronnie Karam. Follow us, and then you'll see our show starting on the main page. It's called Take a Seat. You guys come up and talk to us. We talk about Bravo stuff and really whatever you guys want to talk about, too. So join us, won't you?
And I also just want to say about our ticket sales. We are really hashtag blessed that everyone has been super supportive. But we do recommend you check it out now because actually some of the venues are like really selling well. And I already know some people who are like, oh my God, I thought I could wait. And actually most of the seats in that place are gone. So just like at the very least, just check it out to make sure you can keep tabs on those venues if you need to like take a moment to decide whether or not it's something you can do or not. But like, I don't want anyone to be blindsided, but some of the venues are like selling very, very quickly. So just giving you a heads up about that. And today we are here with the penultimate Real Housewives of Potomac episode of the season. And it begins with the resolution of last week's cliffhanger, which was Gordon and Ashley fighting in a van about her wanting to nap. And guess what happens when the episode begins? They get home.
Yeah, it's over.
It's over.
Yeah. They get home. So Wendy calls out that dinner's at 7:30, and Karen's like, great job, Wendy. Great job. Wonderful work. Great job today. Wow. GBO.
GBOO. Am I right, everyone?
GWO. Great Wix only. Am I right?
GSEO, Great Surrey Counties Only.
So Chris says, God, everyone's exhausted. And she's like, that's what happens when you GVO.
Or go on a group trip with Candace. So then, everyone's just kind of like doing their thing. Ashley's pulling out some baby formula from the fridge. Robin's
miserable. Robin and Giselle are still miserable, as usual. They're up in their little attic room. And Giselle's like, I mean, how much would it cost to open this door and use it as a bathroom? This is ridiculous. They wanted us to stay in here. Rah.
Yeah. But ultimately, though, they're getting the shit done that they said they couldn't get done, i.e. put on makeup and stuff. And then some caterers arrive and Wendy talks with them. And then I wrote down bins because there's some bins that are arriving. They got bins, more bins than you can even imagine. And then Karen and Ray are getting ready. And she's like, I'm almost ready, Ray. And he's just like playing with her curling iron, pretending that he's like, straightening his hair. And he's just like cracking himself up. He's like, it's a curling iron, but I don't have hair. This is good, Karen.
I loved Wendy testing out her comedic skills with the caterer. because she's like, hey. And the lady's like, oh, wow, this place is beautiful. She goes, thank you. I decorated myself. And she starts cracking up at herself, and the lady just stares back at her like, okay, so we're just going to go ahead and put the tables up and put the food on them. She's like, so we're going to serve ourselves. I don't have a joke for that. I know that you're waiting for a joke for that.
The lady's you got like, served. Oh, there it is.
So let's see. So then Mia and G are coming down the stairs, and he's like, your ass is looking tight.
Yeah, and Eddie is putting a shoe on Wendy. Eddie has some sort of crazy, crazy suit going on, a pant and blazer situation. And the caterers are getting more stuff ready, and they're like putting lettuce into a bowl. And the producers just like zoom in on the lettuce and just like linger on it. Like, remember, remember the travesty of the lettuce. Remember.
And Karen and Ray come in matching white fedoras, and she says, we come into the room doing the electric slide backwards. Mm? Some people don't make it 25 years. Giselle. So we're going to enjoy that. Mm? I mean, doing the electric slide backwards. It's dangerous. Don't try it at home. Mm? Giselle being alone forever. It's hilarious. Mm?
I love this song because it reminds me of Ray handling a curling iron. Mm, you can do it, Ray. It's electric. Boogie, woogie, woogie, woog.
And so they all go outside for a nice sunset crab boil, and romantic music plays. And everyone makes fun of Escala because she's wearing like a big green fuzzy jacket. And they tell her she looks like the Grinch who stole Christmas.
Yeah. And it's cold outside. So Wendy has to make another toast. She's like, I'm making a toast to the Chesapeake Bay. I decorated it myself. It's a joke. Anyway, also to Candace's album, to whoever listens to it, and Ray and Karen for their 25 years and for still doing the electric slide, even though we've sat down at the table. I didn't even know you could do a seated electric slide, but they're doing it. Congratulations.
And G's all grouchy. He's like, it's cold. I'm going inside. So he leaves. And then Candace, you know, they're making small talk because they're kind of bored at this point. And Candace is like, so, Karen, you're going to be a bride next time I see you. And Giselle's like, Karen, I'm sorry, I wrote Giselle. But Karen says, yes, and if you could find a way to open your invitations outside, it's very important to Ray. Hmm?
It's like, did Ray fart in a box? Is that what happened? And send it to you guys? So then they're just like talking about the kids. Wendy's kids are having a great time with Grandma. And so Ashley asks Eddie if he's actually heard from his mom since last season. And believe it or not, she actually called him. And they had like a little bit of a conversation. And she asked about how the family was. So the door is open. Like, it's cracked open a little bit.
Yeah. So then Mia tells us, whether you're 12 or 52, it's important to have your parent in your life. And so G comes back out and he's like, oh, God, I just want another drink. I mean, there's so much shit I could be doing right now, most likely sleeping.
Yeah.
And Wendy's like, Karen, can I borrow you and Eddie? Come on, let's go to the side and make a wacky joke that's right in front of the entire table if they just looked over 6 feet. Come over here. It's a secret.
Yeah. So Giselle is like, well, gee, I thought you were going to apologize and all that. You know, now you're making sleeping jokes. And he's like, well, of course I am. Because it's fun. Aren't we having fun? My sleeping jokes, they're killing it, right?
Did and you Giselle, apologize that to Ashley? Yeah, because that is an issue. And he's like, what's wrong with her? And Ashley's like, the bus when I was trying to sleep. When were we on a bus? Do you have Alzheimer's or something? What's happening?
And Mia's like, Ashley, that's not okay, okay? Alzheimer's is a real issue. And coming from a female that's married to an older man, Alzheimer's should never come out of your mouth, okay? Never Alzheimer's.
And Ashley's like, but I would say it to you too. I'm not ageist. And G says, Ashley, if I hurt your feelings, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry about what I said. Now let's be done with it. The hell kind of thing is that to say? No, we are not done with it, sir.
And Ashley goes, well, you don't need to add that part to it. And he goes, well, it's the truth. And she says, well, then don't give me an apology at all. I don't need it.
So he's like, what the fuck is going on? Meanwhile, Wendy and Eddie have pulled Karen aside because they've got a big cake for her to pop out to. Because remember when they were talking about the bachelorette party and Ray had told Karen that he wants a woman to jump out of a cake for him? Well, Karen is the cake.
It's happening. So meanwhile, Mia's like, Alzheimer's is a real issue. She's
it's
like,
called Alzheimer's with a Z. I know like words. It's a real issue. Okay, it's a real issue that people suffer from.
If it was Alzheimer's with a Z, wouldn't it have a Broadway special like Liza did? Thank you, I the fence rests.
Well, I wasn't trying to be insulting, and you shouldn't say that someone has a disease like Alzheimer's when they're older.
And she said, well, she goes, well, I said amnesia first. I mean, do you have selective hearing? I know what I said. You have ambrosia?
Goes,
I don't have to explain myself.
Just so weird. Do you have selective hearing?
Elective hearings are a real issue, Ashley. Are you trying to unfairly redistrict it now? Like, I said what I said.
I don't watch Ted Lasso. No, I didn't even say I didn't say Ted, and I said nothing that even sounded like Lasso.
I know what I said. Oh, really? Where's your husband?
She goes, at home with my children. She goes,
are you sure?
Which is funny because, like, where's your husband is not the logical next step of this argument, but she just goes there. Talking about Alzheimer's. So then Candace tells us, she's like, well, Ashley thinks she can just puff up her chest at the girls and they'll take it. But honey, Mia is too big to sit back and take anything. She's going to let you have it. And I'm content
she's
to eat
so
my
big,
potatoes.
She's not going to take anything besides delivery from the clothes for Giant Store. I mean, you try and climb her beanstalk, she's going to strangle your bean ass with it. All right. By the way, Giselle started this fight. So let's just to point that out.
Listen, I didn't forget. I do not have Alzheimer's, okay? So then Ashley is like, she's like, do you have anything else to say? You obviously have an undertone, and we can make it an overtone. We don't need to talk about copper tone right now. The sun is not that strong.
And G's like, Ashley, do you need a hug, dear?
You know what she needs? Dick. That's what she needs. A big black dick. You should try it, Ashley.
So then Robin hugs Ashley because she doesn't want a hug from Gordon. So Robin gives her a hug. And then Mia tells us,
girl, we're on a couples trip. Why haven't I met your husband? Are you embarrassed by him? Plus, we're on freaking vacation. Why are you sleeping anyway if you're so damn tired? Take your ass back home. I'm like,
she just gave birth. She has a newborn. Of course she's tired, Mia.
And Ashley says, well, my issue is that you wouldn't stop. That's all I said. And he's like, look, I don't give a shit. I'm sorry how it made you feel. She goes, thank you. I'm glad you can remember it now.
Meanwhile, the cake rolls up. And by the rolls up, I mean, it's basically like Eddie and Wendy running with a giant cake. The cake has like little Karen legs under it. This big running cake. It looks like a mascot for like a very, very minor league baseball team. And
yeah, it's a cake with a wig that could fly off at any moment.
The Potomac Cakes. It has three candles to represent each wick. And so Wendy is like, Ray, now I know you told Karen you want the woman to jump out of the cake. And the Osefos, listen, here's your cake. I decorated it myself. Pause for laughter. Okay.
The caterer is just standing in the corner giving her a dirty look. Like, God, I hate her jokes.
She uses the same punchline over and over again. It becomes worse and worse with every context.
Ray's like, I've got one question. Is she naked? And everyone kind of laughs, but it's Ray, so... So then Karen jumps out and she's like, hey, baby, anything for you, baby. Except moving to Florida or, you know, downsizing, et cetera, et cetera. I will jump out of a half a cardboard cake for the grocery store, though.
And Giselle goes, Karen, nah, this was terrible. You should be naked with whipped cream on your nipples.
I just envisioned that and now it's killing me. So Karen's like, God forbid I pop out in front of G. I mean, that man was licking after me.
Yeah. So then Wendy gives herself a 10s across the board for being a hostess. And she says that she made sure everyone had a good time, even though she had to deal with two petulant children, but she whipped them into shape.
Yeah, and someone's like, I need to find out what Alzheimer's is. Sorry, it's lost in my notes. So then Robin says, this trip was horrible. I don't feel like having a conversation with Wendy because she's a horrible hostess.
And Mia and Gordon are still talking, and Mia's like, Mia's like, I don't get in issues with your friends. And he's like, yeah, I don't need you to defend me. She goes, I wasn't defending you. I was defending everyone who has Alzheimer's.
So then back in Potomac, trip's over. So yeah. It's 2 days later, and Wendy and Candace are hanging out at Wendy's house, and Mia and G are talking. So we're cross-cutting back and forth between the two houses. Mm-hmm. And Wendy's like, there's no goat meat here. There's no wise. And Candace is like, well, I enjoyed myself on that trip. I mean, Gordon is a grade A lunatic.
And then we have Mia talking to Gordon, and Gordon's saying how he basically hasn't been out of the house since March 2020, and he was going to have a good time no matter what. And then all of a sudden, a doorbell rings, and then packages arrive, and it's Karen's invitation to her vow renewal. And Karen tells us, well, you know, the vow renewal is a very special invitation, comes right from the heart of Surrey County, USA. And I was hoping this would touch their hearts in a very, very special outdoorsy way.
So then Giselle's like, we're supposed to open this outside. Ah. And Robin's with Juan, who is using a face roller on his face. But it looks like a tiny little paint roller. It's not the face roller we learned about on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. This is like if you had a dollhouse and you were painting all the windowsills.
Yeah, it looked like a little dollhouse broom. Roller. It was a little broom from TV's Bloopers and Practical Jokes. Those guys who came on screen, he pulled it off the TV and put it on his face.
So Robin opens it and a butterfly flies out. And Robin, of course, it's a shocker what Robin does. She goes,
and then Giselle looks at it and she goes, she sent us mothballs. And her daughter's like, Mom, they're butterflies. They're just dead. Dead butterflies. Those poor butterflies.
So then Ashley calls Robin and she's like, did you get this invitation? And Robin's like, the moths?
and Giselle's like, Karen thinks that this is grand. This is what the grand dame does. Girl, just give me a text. And I have to agree with her on this point. Like, because I probably would have forgotten to open it outside, and I probably would have opened it up, and at best, butterflies would have flown around, and I would have gotten really annoyed. I don't want butterflies inside my house.
Yeah, nothing says, like, here's to a special next 25 years with my old ass husband than a box of dead butterflies.
Right? Yeah. It reminds me, actually, you know what? This reminds me of, never mind. I was going to remember Game of Crowns. There was like a very intense release of doves for a wedding vow renewal by Lynn Diamante. And there's like a million doves. It's really not essential to the rest of this recap. I'll just move on.
Unless some of them were dead.
They probably died. A few probably died. Gotta be.
That's kind of the winning argument here. Dead butterflies. Come to my wedding. So Mia's like, well, I can see where Karen was going with that, because in marriage, you turn into a cocoon, right? Because you're like a butterfly, and then you turn into a caterpillar. Is that right? Is that how it happens?
The caterpillar, then it grows up and has to fight Godzilla. And it's like very dangerous for humans. Don't make me go back to kindergarten.
So Mia's sitting down with G and she's like, well, it feels good to be home. I was concerned about the cans. And he's like, me too. Very much so. And now we know it was for very good reason. And now I don't want to put your mom on blast because she is your mother.
Like, so, I know. Distracting to come back for our anniversary.
Okay, so these two fuckers go out of town and leave their kids with her mother for the first time. And then they come back in and decide, you know what? Let's keep vacationing. So then they get a hotel and decide to do another vacation for their anniversary.
So Veronica apparently started texting incessantly because she was overwhelmed. And then she got into an argument with Gordon because she couldn't decide what to feed the kids that night. So then Mia decided to like come home from the hotel 2 hours after they had left. And because Gordon had tried to call her, but she wouldn't answer. So they came home and, basically they got into a big fight in front of the kids. And Mia was really frustrated. And she's like, well, when my mom gets upset, she leaves. And I've seen her leave me as a child. And I was not going to let my children experience any of that, even though I did just technically leave my children to spend more time with my husband.
Yeah, no shit. On two trips in a row. Also, I'm team your mom on this one. You guys are assholes. Like, she just did you a huge favor. Then you're making her stay for another 2 days or whatever. And then G calls and gives her attitude. He said that he called her. Of course, he doesn't say what he said. But he called her all pissed off because the phone kept beeping. And she said, gee, these are your kids. And then hung up on him and got all mad. So I'm team mom.
I feel like there probably is another side of the story here for sure.
Yeah, with your free babysitting, you fucking ingrates.
Yep, enjoy that. So now they feel like they're back to ground zero. Not ground zero, square one. Ground zero, who said ground zero? Someone said that on the show recently. So they're back at square one with mom.
Commercials, here comes one right now.
Now Giselle goes over to a nursery, plant nursery with her girls, because she's trying to figure out, pick out some shrubbery and flowers to go alongside the driveway. And she's like, you know, things like this. And she points at like some greenery. And the girl's like, no, that's ugly, mom. Don't you want to call her? God, mom.
The house is already plain looking. Basically, Giselle still can't shoot in her house. So they're at this flower place for her kids to just read her for filth. That's another, like, Giselle just gets ripped to shreds by her kids.
Yeah, exactly. And so they're just like, then like Giselle's like, what about these? These are nice. Mom, those are disgusting. They're like little, like lovely little sheps, you know, like, gosh, mom. So Giselle's like, well, should I bring a date to Karen's things? And they're like, no, mom, no.
Not if you don't know them. She's like, true, but what do you kids think of me dating? It's like, oh God, Giselle, again. Okay, so they're just out of shit for this season, right? They're
yeah, like, it's just scraps now.
We've still got time till Karen's and we still got an extra episode. So just, kids, go out and give your mom shit, okay? Giselle, pretend that you're going to start dating again.
We're going to a nursery, okay, guys? We're shooting in a nursery. This is where we're at, okay?
So the whole, like, do the kids care if I date? And so they're like, no, I mean, look, we just don't want to see you alone and gross, mom.
Yeah, we don't want to see you die alone, mom.
I know. And like, yeah, you're pretty lonely. She goes, well, I'm casually dating. And one of the daughters is like, but do you want a serious relationship? She's like, no, not right now. So why are you dating, mom? Gosh.
And the producer asked Giselle, so who is this man that you're casually dating? And she's like, none of your business. And I don't believe her. She's just like, would everybody get off my ass? Is there something wrong with a woman who, like, has worked, just bought a house, wants to sit on her ass and watch some Netflix alone with some ice cream? Can you get off my ass?
Or a woman who's done all those things and maybe just wants to get a little booty on the side, right? So then Giselle's like, well, you guys are going to be dating very soon. And if you're not already, Grace, Giselle, Bryant, I don't want you guys to be that way, by the way. And, you know, she starts saying how it's like, the girls are basically like, it's hard for us because we don't see any relationships. And like, we can't look up to you and dad. So we don't really understand dating and love and relationships and all this stuff, you know, because you guys fucked us up.
And she's like, wow, this is worse than I thought. And Angel says, yeah, it's just going to be harder to ever have a decent relationship. No problem. Don't worry about it, mom. We're just never going to find love because you're so dead inside.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's just going to plague us for the rest of our lives.
And she's like, well, here's the thing. I could have discussed with your father to make our relationship better, but I didn't. And that's on me. I could have said, for example, I don't love you cheating with people in the church. My bad. Should have just told him. I'm sure all would have been fine if I just said something.
I am like Kathy Dennis. I was born with walls. And I didn't know that they were what they were until my children were saying them to my face.
Grace goes, well, right now, it looks like you're kind of a vampire, mom. Angel says, yeah, like you really don't have any feelings. And she goes, well, except that mommy is going to do better. And Angel goes, it's been 50 years of struggle.
Well, I guess it's been my fault that I didn't show you Twilight. Vampires with emotions.
I love those kids. 50 years of struggle.
And, well, that may also be just what it feels like to work at Arizona's. So Ashley, now we go to Ashley, who's going to the therapist, but she's bringing little baby Dylan coming along. And the therapist is like, you can see the therapist is like, oh God, another fucking baby at therapy. Just what I need. Okay, no breakthroughs today. Cancel that one off my list. We'll just try to get through this hour.
Well, whatever you need to do to feed him, I just want you to be comfortable. And the baby's like, do you now? Get the buffet unbuttoned. I'm first in line. There's nothing earlier than this bird, baby.
Analyze this, bitch. So,
wah, wah. Wah, wah.
What does Freud have to say about wah, wah? Wah, wah.
So Ashley is telling us that she saw Dr. Donna before, and it was when she was in postpartum last time, and you know, she was also good with helping her mend things with Michael. And then we see just a clip of Michael going, the biggest thing I feel right now is complete isolation.
So basically the doctors, like, they're talking about how he's just like, Michael's not feeling the need for intimacy, or like, he's, when Ashley's tried to do things, he's kind of like been like, I can't do this right now or whatever. So the insinuation is essentially like, around this time in the pregnancy last year, or post pregnancy, that's when he cheated. And if he's like not looking for intimacy, I think the suggestion is he getting it from somewhere else? So,
right, and you can see the look in Dr. Donna's face. It's like, red flag, red flag. She just has the red flag emojis as eyeballs right now. She's like, well, maybe he just doesn't need – maybe your sex addict husband just doesn't need it right now. So have you tried asking him? She goes, yeah, I've asked him, and he said he doesn't. So I should just trust him? Okay, if that's what you're saying. She goes, well – does it feel like he's being truthful? Because, you know, you should check in on him. By check in on him, I mean, you have an AirTag on his car, right? Like, do you still not have a fucking AirTag on his car?
Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home and listen to the Carrie Underwood song Before He Cheats, and then think about getting a baseball bat. And, you know, if just prepare yourself.
Yeah. And Ashley's like, well, I mean, I do check in with him, but I just always talk about the kids because, you know, it's all I really like to talk about. And she's like, well, sure. You know, it's probably good to have some FaceTime with, you know, Michael. Man, come on, Ashley. And she's like, yeah, but one of our promises was to have date nights, but I get nervous. I mean, what if it's awkward? I don't remember how to be romantic. Is it like riding a bike? No, it's not like riding a bike. It's like riding an old wagon made of alligator cartilage with watery eyes and a wheel falling off. Okay? You're riding Michael. That is no bike.
It's definitely not a bike. So now we go to a photo shoot for Wendy's candle, and it's her mom, Susan, and Susan's like, is this flower sanitized? or she says something like, I cleansed it with the blood of Jesus Christ or whatever.
Oh, because the kid has a flower in her mouth. And so mom's like, is that sanitized? I cleanse it with the power of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the power, not the blood. So then we find out that basically Eddie did everything that Wendy was not doing, like create a business plan and look into finances to get this thing up and going. And so now they're doing a photo shoot, which I hate. I hate the entire artistic direction of this entire photo shoot. And so then when Susan is like, Miguel, you went to school for photography, yes? And he goes, actually, I went to school for engineering. I was like, well, this makes sense because this is not a very good photo shoot.
And Wendy's like, of course, he's African. Did your parents tell you had to be an engineer? And he's like, yeah, pretty much. And Susan, the mom, says, well, all Africans do that. It was the baton handed to me. And that is what I did for my children.
Yeah. And she's like, everything I did for you growing up was good. And raising a kid is not a cookie cutter process. And, you know, you measure your process with the outcome. Cry now. Thank me later.
Because Wendy is just trying to fuck with her. This show is the best. All the women want to fuck with their moms, right?
I know.
They're just fucking with them every single scene.
Wendy's mom is great, though. Wendy's mom is great because she does not take any bullshit from her.
I love it. And Wendy tells her, well, you know, growing up in a Nigerian household, you had very strict expectations, right, mom? Like, I wasn't able to, let's say, chase my dreams earlier because I had to make you happy first. And she's like, okay, Wendy. Okay. Okay, Wendy. And Wendy just keeps going.
And she's like, you know, with me and Quarta, I did something to him, and I said to him, you did this. And later I found out he didn't do it. And so I said, I'm sorry. And I felt it because I was like, well, mom has never said that she's sorry. And she goes, oh, be quiet. Oh, come on. Oh, Wendy, don't you start with me right now. Wendy, you guys were always latchkey children. And I would come in and I would say, I'm sorry I left you guys alone. Which, by the way, you know that Susan also did not say that. But I just love, she's like, oh, don't give this to me now. Like, you're a fucking doctor. You're on TV. You were starting a totally useless luxury brand. Like, don't complain to me that I never said sorry.
Yeah, and she said, and at one point in this conversation, she says, you know, I believe that you measure the process by the outcome. And Wendy's like, but us turning out so good doesn't mean the process was good. It kind of does. That is actually kind of what it means. I think when the kids turn out good, the parents did a good job, right? Can the woman get any credit?
I know. And Wendy's like, you never said that. You never said those things. And she just, shut your mouth. I'm not always right, but I'm always telling you the truth. And I'm about to call an Uber and get out of here. And she just puts on sunglasses. Like, I'll see you later.
Big old diamond sunglasses.
And she's like, I'm going. I'm sorry. And even the photographer's like, I'm sorry. He's apologizing. He wasn't even part of it.
And she's like, Mom, you're in my shop. We're all sorry. Sit down. She goes, no. And she leaves. Hero of the episode, that lady.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now it's time for Ashley and Michael to rekindle that flame and get their sexiness on by going to the Watergate Hotel. The sexiest hotel in Washington.
God. So she's like, wow, this is so sexy. Look at that view. I'm going to put out Karen's candle because sandalwood is a good aphrodisiac. I was like, does it strip? Because you're going to need a little more with Michael. All right.
Do you know what I've always found to be an aphrodisiac? Richard Nixon.
Richard Nixon lying until there was evidence on tape. Wow, there are no similarities to this at all.
Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein are the sexiest men I can think of. Let's do it.
So Michael comes and he's like, oh, well, look at you. This is very nice. Very thoughtful. One of the best views in the country. Wow.
Wow, I can't help but notice how lovely this complimentary pin is. What a sexy time we're having. Oh, is that a doily underneath the glass? That's very lovely. Very sexy times.
And she's like, well, I wasn't sure how you'd feel about coming to the Watergate. And then she tells us, you know, not only is this famous in history, but Michael used to own it. It's like, wow, way to give a man a boner. You know, it's like,
remember this place you had to sell to keep Oz alive.
Not only am I calling you out on you lying until you got caught on tape, but now I'm bringing you to one of your biggest failures. The hotel you tried to remodel but ran out of money or whatever.
How appropriate that Michael and Richard Nixon share this common history together. I feel like we knew this at some point, maybe season one, but I'd totally forgotten about it. Or maybe I'm just making that up. But I feel like Michael owning the Watergate Hotel tells you everything you need to know about Michael. Right? He basically is a walking Watergate Hotel.
So she's trying to be all sexy, and he just keeps looking around at all the cameras and the lights. Like, he just looks like, am I supposed to fuck you like this? I can't fuck you on the couch at home, but now I'm supposed to fuck you with the camera crew in the Watergate. Are you serious right now? But he's staying calm, you know, he's just looking all around. And she goes, do you like cheesecake? And she feeds him, and he goes, oh, sure. Very, very sexy.
I think he's also on high alert because he's afraid that, like, this will all be used against him in some way, because everything always is. Because he knows that once he lets out his inner wretch, that, like, he's just going to do something terrible on camera. So he's just being very clinical, and he's like, this is very sexy. I love cheesecake. Cheesecake is a sexy cake. Of all the cakes, it is the sexiest. Thank you for feeding me sexy cake in the Watergate.
He's just looking around all watery-eyed and red-nosed, you know? And she's like,
So thanks for taking the kids for that whole 2.5 days.
And he's like, right. Well, I thought you'd like to get lots of sleep. Hey, you know what we should do? Let's be quiet and listen to the background noise in this room. And the background noise is like, it's just really awkward, long pauses. And she's like, well, let me tell you about the trip. Mia brought Gordon. I mean, we have Gordon and then we have G. He's like, well, if he's at the vow renewal, I guess I'll say hello to him. But not Chris or that idiot.
And she's like, well, actually, Chris said something that was rather surprising. He said he hoped that's to move forward. And he's like, him having a wife that's been cruel and nasty? I don't need people like that. And he goes, well, he wants to bury the hatchet. His wife pulled a knife out on you. Is that the hatchet? Ba-bum-bum. Comedy on the fifth floor of the Watergate, everyone.
It's like, I'm not going to waste my time on that. If I get to spend time with Juan, why would I spend a second with the others? I mean, Juan is interesting. We get along. He's gorgeous. He's got the eyes of a soul that seeps right through me. He's got a butt that's tighter than a deck of a boat.
He's got dimples so deep you can put maple syrup in them and dip pancakes in.
You put your finger inside and he turns your finger into a diamond. I mean, the guy is just tired, am I right? Juan's going to be there, isn't he? And she's like, okay, you finally got a boner talking about Juan. Let's get this done. So she like swings her leg over him. I mean, it is blindfolds just
him. She blindfolds him and is like, she's like, how about this? I'm just going to make my voice sound like Juan's and we'll just blindfold you and we'll just take it from there. So he's like, she's like, blindfolds him.
You're waking up late. Get out of bed. This is unattractive.
He's like, yeah, give it to me, Juan.
Let's talk about our bachelor party where it's just the two of us in Vegas, potentially sharing a hot tub together, Juan.
And then the clip of Andy going,
so did you actually say I would suck Juan's dick?
Yeah. So he's like, so Ashley's on top of him and he's like, I'm feeling very uncomfortable. And then he's like, then she's on top and he goes, he's just saying things like, very nice, baby. Very nice. Thank you. This is such a beautiful lady. Wow.
Great job, Juan. And so she's like, let's go to the bedroom. So they walk in and they close the door and you think that you're going to start hearing all this sexy stuff. And he goes, wow, such a beauty. Hey. Did you see all those buttons next to the toilet? And she goes, well, okay, I'll be here when you're ready. And then he goes off to play with his ass in the fancy toilet.
Yeah, pull up a picture of Juan. So now we go to Giselle visiting our old therapist friend, Dr. Ken. And Dr. Ken has apparently been in high demand. A lot of people want to sit in that very cold and sterile room of his and share their feelings with him. I am questioning Dr. Ken's quality as a therapist. I guess you probably are going to say I've been questioning him for many years, but now I feel like I really am questioning him because I feel like this was not a very good therapist session. So basically, Giselle comes in and she's talking about how she needs to be, she wants to work on being more vulnerable because the girls are saying that she's emotionally unavailable, vampire, etc. And so Ken asks her why, Dr. Ken asks her why she reconnected with Jamal. And she says that she was basically in a place where she wanted to take a leap and bring the family back together, you know. And Ken's like, was there a love force? And she's like, well, he was looking at me a little different, you know, much more respect. And by more respect, I mean no respect, but he had glasses now. And before the pandemic, we were seeing each other all the time because, you know, he needed his free refills at Arizona's. But then not being able to see each other made me look at him differently, made me realize I do like my space and my freedom. And also, by the way, he impregnated someone else. So yes, I want a man, but I just don't want to answer to one.
He had gone almost 9 months without impregnating somebody from his congregation. And I thought, wow, he's into me. And the doctor sighs and he's like, well, but partnerships are about being accountable. So if you don't want to answer to someone, I mean, listen, what message do you want to communicate to your kids about relationships? How about she's communicating that she's not taking any bullshit from some chronically cheating asshole of a man by leaving him? How about that? That's a good lesson.
Yeah, exactly. And so he's basically saying like that the kids are seeing her seeing her reconnect and falling apart, and then they're sort of just wondering what love is, and Giselle's like, oh my god, this is horrible, and he says, maybe you haven't had honest, open conversations with them about what you're going through. And she's like, yeah, I thought I was doing a good job, but apparently I've had missteps. So he goes, here's his great advice. Let your walls down. Because when your walls come down.
He's like The Bachelor. You know, it's like he's on The Bachelor right now. That's his therapy. Let your walls down.
She knows.
Please don't knock over that IKEA lamp from 2020 or from 2010 behind you. You know, the silver tree that like has the see-through branches with little lights at the end. I had that for years. God, I miss that lamp.
Yeah, he's like, you know, when your walls come down, it's beauty that comes out and you have the opportunity to make a major change. And when your daughters grow up, they're going to remember how they felt around you. I'm like, okay, that's fine. And that's probably true, but that's why she's here. She knows that. You're supposed to tell her how to bring the walls down. Okay. And you're supposed to tell her why she has walls up in the first place and what those walls serve her and all this stuff. But he's just like, let your walls down. I'm like, I'm sorry, Giselle, you just got therapy from like a sign at Marshall's.
Yes. The Bachelor. I'm telling you, this is, they never tell you how the walls came down or anything. They just go, you know what? You need to put your walls down. And until you put your walls down, I'm breaking up with you. And then you're supposed to come back and go, oh my God, I thought about what you said. My walls are down. They're like, oh my God, your walls are down. And then you make out. And then they go, you know what? I really appreciate, I'm giving you this rose tonight because you showed vulnerability.
Yeah. And that's what he said. And that's what he says to her. He goes,
yeah,
let me tell you what I see in your eyes. Vulnerability. And which, by the way, that's his bullshit way of making it sound like his shit worked, because he just basically said, I see vulnerability. So now she thinks, oh, I'm being vulnerable. Wow, Dr. Ken is a good therapist. No, he's just saying he sees it.
Yeah, they make you cry and then they call you vulnerable because now you're crying. I mean, you guys have treated her like shit the whole episode and now she's crying about it. Everybody in this episode has been like, you have no feelings. You're an actual vampire and you're never going to find love and die alone. And so she starts to cry. And they're like, yes, that's all we needed from you. Fail. Some tears.
Fail, fail, fail. I give this one a big fail, Dr. Ken. Go to new therapist.
And that is the end of this episode. But man, next week looks really good. The season finale looks good.
Season finale will be fantastic. Oh my goodness. Then we're going to have Potomac reunion. We still have our Beverly Hills reunion. So everyone, thank you for listening. Here's what we have coming up later this week. We got the new season of Below Deck. We've got Vanderpump Rules. We got Beverly Hills and we got Winter House. It is a full slate. And of course, we have Take a Seat tonight at 10 o'clock Eastern. And of course, come get tickets to our shows because we're going to have so much fun and we want to celebrate 10 years of podcasting. Gosh, Ronnie, isn't that crazy? 10 years of podcasting. Oh, my God. We're going to be celebrating 10 years of podcasting on the road. So please come celebrate with us because it won't be the same without you. That's it.
Thanks, everybody. We will talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Wee McLovin, Karen McClellan.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie. Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica 500 Days of Summers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No one makes us feel well like Megan. And Cap Sewell,
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.